Paulo.
Okay. So packet 22 is about kviyas and what is the definition of death in halacha. So this is a big question in the poskim. We have a pasuk in Noach, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim Ba'apav Mikol Asher B'Charov Amesu. So that seems to imply that it's a din of Nishmas Chaim, it's a din of Neshima, breathing. And the and it says in the Gemara in Yuma here, first on page 2, Misha Nafla Olav Mapolis, right, like a box fell on the person. So Sofik Husham, Sofik Enusham, Sofik Chai, Sofik Meis, Mefakim Olav Sagal. So if it's Sofik, so then we try to remove the, because maybe he's alive. So now, if it's Bade Meis, then they're not. If it's Sofik, then to check if he's alive or not. So the Gemara says, hey, on page 3, Tadra Bon Hechan Hu Bodek, Ab Chotlo. In other words, so if he takes the rocks away, then he just has to check from his nose to see if he's breathing. So once he checks his nose to see who is breathing, so then that's it. Then we know. V'yesh omrim ad libo. And some say no. You can't just check the nose. You have to check for the heart. And that's the Rambam Paskins on page 4. Misha nafal olav mapola sofik u'sham sofik enesham fafi olav matzuchai. Yeah. And then halacha test. Bot glad chodmo lo tzobo neshama manichim oso. So the Rambam Shita is that that once you get to the nose, that's okay. What? Right. So someone to, I don't hear you. Yeah. Right, so that seems to imply that the neshima is what's koveya. That the neshima is koveya, and that's the neshima is koveya, so that means breathing is koveya. That means if he's not breathing, he can't breathe independently, then he wouldn't be alive. And so what's the other tzad to say? I mean, okay, if you hold out libo, but if the Rambam paskins out chotmo, so does that imply that that's it? So someone would say, I think one of my talmidim, Rabbi Strasberg, is the Rav Nevensol. So what's the other shita? He thought the other shita would say that that's just a simon. In other words, that you could assume that that the rest of the body is gone also, just from the, not that the chotem is the end all be all, but that's would be a simon. That, but you know, but then that's a little hard to say, because why don't we just know for sure by just going further and checking the heart. Now, this became a very big discussion in terms of the definition of the brain death is death, meaning, and brain death means that the, like Rav Shechter pointed out, this means there's no circulation to the brain anymore. So it's, Rav Shechter compared it to Rav Moshe's tshuva about whether a person has an arm, that there's no circulation to the arm, there's paralysis, and there's no circulation to the arm, whether that's considered, whether you can put on tefillin on that arm anymore. Because maybe once there's no circulation, that's like it's cut off. And that's the mission in Oilos. Other main of Atama Ishatin is not a few ghosts is okay. Yeah. He says, Hutru Roshe, that's the Mishnah on page 6. Hutzu Roshayim, if a person is decapitated, his head is cut off, so then he's dead. It's been metame ba'oil. And that's the Rambam over here in Hilchos Tumas Meis on page 9, where it speaks about four lines from the bottom. Nishbara machrokoso, right, the spine, the bone that the spine is in, that is going through that, it's like a bamboo stick, right? So the spine is going through that bamboo, and then it breaks. It breaks the bone, so that means that eventually rip. This is how Dr. Robert Weiss of the West Side explained to me once. So the Shmurim of Harakha, the rope was sorry emo, but it still has the basar around it, but eventually it's going to. Hutos Rosho. So Harei Zemetame. Right, because it's basically on the way to. And the Ramban says Hainu Mechaim, meaning it didn't happen yet, but it's Vilachar Misa Pshita. So the Chiddush is, even if it's Nishbara Mafarakoso, and then once the Mafrekis, the bone that surrounds the spinal cord, breaks, so then the spinal cord is the next thing that's going to, rip, and then, so the Chiddush Ramban says that even though it didn't happen yet, but it's still Omid Lekach, which is an interesting Kiddush, but that's also going to be, so with the Rambam also close to Salaka.
Yeah.
The Rambam says what's the Lashon Rambam? Page 9. This room refers to Sara Ima. I thought this should die to Mirafresh. So there's still movement, you know. Right. Yeah. So maybe, I hear what you're saying. Maybe the Ram says it's not going to be until, in other words, Ramban uses a Lashon, Nishbara Mafarakoso, and he's still, where's the Ramban? Okay. He says, that it still didn't happen yet. Hainu Mechaim. Tarek was saying, that could be the Rambam would say no. That means Nishmer for Kosov, Robesora Ima, and then that caused the spinal cord to rip. But before it rips, then he's still alive. That could be that the Rambam, because the Rambam used the Lashon Asher Tetzei Nafsho. The Chiddush of the Ramban is that, which is, seems to be a very big Chiddush, right? Because the Maisa, it didn't happen yet. But clearly the Mishnah says once it's Hutos Rosho, that's it. Because when Hutos, then there can not be any breathing. Because the brain is controlling the breathing, and if the brain is severed or the cord that attaches the brain is severed, then he's not breathing anymore. And well, others say that that's only if, like we said before, you have to be totally dead, even the heart. And just the assumption is that once you have Hutos Rosho, then everything is gone. There's a famous tshuva in the Chasam Sofer that seems to be a... There's a famous tshuva here on page 11. He says... Is this to Moses Mendelssohn? Is this the tshuva? What? Marcid. Marcid. So he says, Rofe kavod yinusei medina she'ein meisim migvar malach ha-shabbat go rofe. So the question is, yeah. So he says, so it's Marcin, but then he refers to Moses Mendelssohn here, the second arrow. He goes from Mishnah Tavkin Lamed Shachachem Ramad. So Moshe Deseo, whatever, that's Moses Mendelssohn. Tal Mahati Yisroel Shachachem Yisroel Mom Kerofis Benein Omru Sheino Dagvul Hamadgul Benchaim Lomovis. So he wants to say that today, to bury somebody, you can't just bury right away, because maybe you're burying a live person. So you gotta wait until it starts decaying. Yefshar ela be'ikul abosar. So that's what he is. So obviously this is a big problem, because he's saying you're gonna violate blosolim, right? So he's gonna... So the Chasam Sofer says in the second, third arrow, that's the Anani Nebeli Sofik, Sha'amra Torah, Kebi Ish Chet, Mishpot Mavis, Vuhumas, Lo Tolin, Ikorot of Verenu, Over Al Zeh, Mishum, Meis, Over Al Esiv, Lo Sase, So Az Nimtza Lan Shir Misa, Ulai Haya Az, Masoros, Mibalai TV, Mishonim, but he says, we have a Masorah. And what's the Masorah? The Pasuk says, Kol Asher, the next arrow. Kol Asher Ruach Chaim Ba'apo. Hakol Toloi B'Neshim Ata'af. Right? And this is, Hakol Toloi B'Neshim Ata'af. Breathing. So it's not breathing. So he's saying, what Moses Mendelssohn says is not the halacha. It's not breathing. Oh. So then the question there, is there's another line in the Chasam Sofer where he seems to contradict that on page 12. He's like a stone, not moving, and there's no heartbeat, no pulse. And then,
Ein lanu el divrei Torasenu Hakadosha shehu meis.
So that seemingly says that no, it's not enough just to have, you have to have already everything is stopped, and then the breathing also stopped, but if you only know that the breathing stopped, and you know for a fact that the fika is still going on, then it's mashra from the Chasam Sofer that he would be still alive. So several times I've discussed this tshuva with Rav Zalman Nachemi Goldberg. I've discussed it with him, and he thought this was his answer, that the answer is that neshima is really the definition of death, breathing. But sometimes we're not sure that a person stopped breathing. Maybe he didn't really stop. Maybe it's reversible. Maybe it was just a temporary. So that's why he says you needed all the other things. Really, the neshima is the thing. But the question is, maybe it's reversible. So the question is, if we have apparatus today to do medical testing to see that it's not reversible, right, then in a chalami, that could be perhaps death, even if the heart is still beating. He only said it because that was just a way of determining. It's just like he wrote originally, that the definition is in the Shema. So this is the story here.
Wasn't that exactly what Rosenblum was arguing, though? That now we know that the criteria we have aren't so good. That people sometimes get very alive by accident. We should be careful.
Right. But what he's saying is that once it's... Right. You're saying that we didn't have the apparatus then to know, so that's why he wanted to.
Right.
Right. But the Chasam Sofer is saying that. But if you have all these things, the heart's, there's no pulse, there's no heartbeat, and there's no breathing, you could assume that that's it, even without fancy apparatus, and you don't need the body to start decaying. I mean, that would take some time before they would bury him, according to Moses Mendelssohn. So the nafkamina would be, if you say like Rav Zalman Nechemia, so that, in other words, the big question that comes out today is heart transplants. If somebody needs a heart transplant, so obviously if his heart stopped beating, then it's useless. It's not going to help somebody else. But if the person is already brain dead, totally, you know, like Rabbi Tendler says, brain stem. There's no, like Rav Schechter points out, no circulation whatsoever to the brain. So then the question is, but the heart is still beating, could you take the heart out and give it to someone else who is, you know, who's alive, but he needs a new heart? Because you can only do this if the heart is still. Once the person's gone, you can't take someone from the grave and take out his heart and give it to someone else. It's not going to work. But the heart is still working, then you could do it. So this is the proponents of brain death said that should be okay because Alpi Din, he's dead. Alpidin is dead, so if Alpidin is dead, so then you can go ahead and take the, because of the brain and there's no independent breathing, then you can take the heart. Those that argued say, no, it's Ritzicha, you can't do that. Because just like there's a halacha, you can't kill somebody to save your own life. That's the Gimel Averus. So this is considered alive. And this comes up a lot in hospitals when you have to pull, you know, if he has brain death, is the doctor, the nurse allowed to pull the plug of the respirator and let him totally expire? Meaning, because Alpidin, he was already dead with the brain death. And this is he's only continuing with the heart. I mean, so could they already shut off the respirator, shut off everything with the mice, he's brain dead. So, So Rav Zalman Chemi told me that he thought that the Iker Mikir did its din in the breathing, and therefore, you know, and that's how he explained the steer and the Chasam Sofer. That's what he said. So this has been a long ongoing machlokes, you know, about what Rav Moshe held. You know, Rav Tendler's of the opinion, Rav Moshe Tendler's of the opinion that Rav Moshe held from brain death. And even though here on page 13, he's the famous tshuva that he writes to Dayan Weiss, that if you take your heart out from somebody, it's a double ritzicha. It's a double ritzicha.
One second,
because you're killing the guy whose his heart is still beating, and then the operations weren't so successful, so you're going to kill the guy you're putting him into also. So that's what. So Rabbi Tandler claims that this tshuva was written, you know, when it wasn't fully brain deaf. It wasn't, you know, the brain was dead, but there was still some type of circulation of something to the brain, as a contrast to the brain stem death, which was, there was totally nothing going to the brain at all. And so this was the original tshuva in Tov Shin Chof, where he says, there's nothing to talk about. Kishtilos halev, second paragraph. Kishtilos rofel lasas b'zman achor hu ritzichas shtei nefashos mamash. That was his thing. So Rabbi Tendler claims that this was only said by, you know, it was a brain death, and it wasn't a full, you know, full, you know, thing. Okay. So b'mei, one second. So those, you know. So there were other people, you know, who argued with brain death. A lot of other rabbanim. Rabbi Bleich wrote a whole saint book on it. You know, if you didn't follow the shita, so the big nafkamina is about, you know, heart transplants and things like that. So there were big rabbanim who said, you know, like Rav Zalman Nechemia, who thought that, and Rav David Feinstein is of the opinion that it's din of, from Rav Moshe, that's a din of breathing, you know. Rav David Feinstein even told me a chiddush once. That's a very big chiddush. Because my sister-in-law was asking me, what about Superman? She wanted to know about Superman. Right? So Superman, he was paralyzed. Right? So the mice, he couldn't breathe, but his head was, you know, it wasn't brain death. But he couldn't breathe independently because he was paralyzed. So is that? So if you say, you know, it's a din that when your brain, in other words, is it a din that you can't breathe only because your head is severed, and then you can't breathe, then it's dead. But if you can't breathe for some other reason, then maybe you're still alive. What do we say? No, the ma'isa, it's a din of breathing. Nishmas ruach elokim ba'apo. So it should be dead, even though he's walking around, which is very hard to. Oh, so I asked this to Rav David Feinstein. But you have to realize, you know, there's two types of shilas that you ask somebody. There's one type of shila that, you know, somebody's sitting, thinking, working, and then another shila you ask him in the street while you're walking to shul. You know, those type of shaylas. So this is walking to shul, walking back from shul. My wife lives on the Lower East Side, so we get to walk. You know, in those days, Rav David and his Rebbetzin used to take the big walk. They live right by the drive, and MTJ is far near, by, you know, by Chinatown there. So it's a good mahalach. So it's a good walk, so you can have a good conversation. Even though we used to stop off at the Young Israel, but the Young Israel used to be far also. Now the Young Israel is near the drive also, so the conversations aren't, you know. So he said he thought there's no difference, which is a big chiddush to say that. What's the guy's name? Superman Reeves. What? Christopher. Yeah. Yeah. So he thought that if he was considered, Rav David said he was considered dead on Pidin. But again, this wasn't a shaila that we were really down on. It was a discussion in the street. So, you know, it's like, there's a sefer called Aleu Lo Yibol. It's a very nice sefer by Rabbi Shapansky. And it was all the shailas that this fellow asked Rav Shlomo Zalman when he's getting in the car, when he's getting out of the car. So Rav Shmuel Orbach wrote a Haskama to the Sefer. So some people never read the Haskama. So you write a Haskama, you write a Haskama. If you read the Haskama, he writes that this Sefer should never have been written. That was the... because he says he doesn't think that, these pop questions that when this big Rav is, walking, getting in the car, getting out of the car, doesn't give us so, Okay, the different thing. But okay, besides the Christopher Reed's question, so that was the question of,
I don't even know that they're not reading on their own. They're having a machine. You might be reading, you have a machine, but we're
it has to be, obviously you could take a dead and...
he's functioning, but we're just giving him the... Yeah, I think you could take... You
can
take a box and just put air in it.
Yeah, take a balloon.
Yeah, but that's after he's already, the Shiva has already been nipped
up. Right.
But here the Shiva is never nipped up. You're just, take the guy from the ground. He's already dead, so you're not doing the transformation by putting the Shiva in.
Yeah.
But the guy who's alive and you're just keeping him going, you're officially putting the Shiva in.
Yeah.
You say that you're going to the
Who said assist? Assisted
breathing,
unassisted breathing.
Right.
Who cares whether it's assisted or unassisted? The person is alive, he's breathing. Why is it?
Yeah. Well,
who said that? Where
does
that come from?
Well, obviously, it means that he's breathing on his own, that means the machine is helping him. But if he's totally dead and they blow air into it. Right. Okay, So there's a famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi.
Well, there's a question of Samuel the Bomber.
There's a famous tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi. Instead of reading the tshuva inside, let's just read it in Edward Reichman's article. He has a son here in the yeshiva. Back there. So the famous article... he's just translating the tshuva of the Chacham Tzvi with his own ha'ara on page 19. The Chacham Tzvi and the heartless chicken. Page 19. The discussion of whether an animal could live without a heart has occupied a prominent place in halakhic responsa. It relates to the status of an animal as a trait for an avela. So case in 9, there was a case in 1709 that caused a great sensation when a young girl preparing a hen for dinner, was unable to locate its heart. So she was wondering, maybe the animal never had a heart, and then for sure it's strafe. There was some suspicion that a nearby cat may have eaten it. The case was brought before Tzvi Ashkenazi, the Chacham Tzvi, if the hen was kosher. During the course of the discussion, the Chacham Tzvi took from the opportunity to elaborate of the importance of the heart, both from a halakhic as well as its physiological perspective. His famous response on this has already been incorporated into the halakhic discussion of brain death. So Bekitzer, so the Chacham Tzvi says that no, it can't. He says it had to have had a heart. Look at the bottom paragraph. It is clear that Chacham Tzvi subscribed to the position of Aristotle. He writes, all the life and power of the body are dependent upon the heart. And so it had to have a heart. So therefore, so Melawat,
it must have had a heart. So what happened? It got lost. Right? So in other words, you can't say that that it didn't have a heart. So it had a heart, because life, without a heart, you don't have life. So some want to say that according to Chacham Tzvi, that if the heart is beating, that still there's still life. And they want to use this tshuva was he saying that his point is that she can't find the heart doesn't mean it didn't have a heart. It had a heart. You lost it. It fell down. The cat ate it. Whatever. Because life, and obviously this hen lived. This hen lived. It's not. You know, this hen lived for whatever amount of time it lived before we shechted it. So one second. So Rabbi Dr. Reichman points out that he feels, if you look at the Chacham Tzvi carefully, that the Chacham Tzvi, at that time, the scientific knowledge believed, on this number two here, that the heart is a respiratory organ. In other words, you can't bring a riot to that the heart is alive, because it could be, he only said heart is life, because they believe that you don't breathe from your lungs, you breathe from your heart. And Mamela, so Inukhanami, the Shema is what counts, but it's the but that was the common idea in that time, that you breathe from the heart. So Mamela, that's what he, that was his approach. Remela, what Rabbi Reichman is saying, Dr. Reichman is saying, is therefore, he can't bring a raya, you know, that the heart is the crucial thing. Today, it's not a respiratory organ. Okay, so this question, you know, now, one nekuda, and that's pointed out in Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni. You heard Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni? He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Eliezer Silver. He's the uncle of Rabbi Aaron Silver from Kerem Yavne. He was a big golem of Yehuda Gershuni. He wrote the Shita Mekubetzes on Psachim. Well, something very other interesting story. So he points out the famous machlokas between the Nodi Yehuda and Rabbi Yeshaya Pick, the Masoras Hashas. And I'll tell you, and you can read it through, and this is what the machlokas is. In other words, most people assume the whole machlokas of brain death, the question is, what's the status if a person's brain is not functioning, total cessation of any blood, of anything like that, they're still beating. Is that called alive or dead? Not convenient whether you can take the heart to save somebody else. But so if you hold he's dead, you could. If you're alive, not. But the assumption is that if a person's alive, you can't take his heart to save another person. Even though this guy is brain deaf, so even though he might still be alive, but he's a trefa. So normally we say, I kill one person to save another. Right? That's the din. I say, we'll kill you. If you kill, so, you know, my chazan, because my chazan is domik savik tzvei, who says your blood is redder than the other? So you can't say, if you don't kill him, we'll kill you. You're not allowed to kill him. So Rabbi Yeshaya Pick, in the Tshuva here on page 3, is written to Rabbi Yeshaya Pick. Rabbi Yeshaya Pick is what? Is the Mesoras Hashas. So he's a good man. He made it on every page in Shas. And the Nodav Yehuda is Nodav Yehuda, you know. So he's also... So this is what they were arguing on. That we say, who says your blood is redder than someone else? So what does that mean? That means is that just because you're smarter, and you're this, and you're that.
So there is halachas of kedima, of hatzolos nefashos. Right, someone, one of my talmidim had the shaila this past summer. He had to give a, he wanted to give a liver, and then he said he was going to give it to a certain lady, and then there was some mother, then the organization called him up, who needs it even more desperately. But he already promised he was going to give it to her. So this was a whole thing of where could he tell the woman that there's another, and then and she'll get it sometime in the future, hopefully. So he wanted me to help him out to navigate this. So this is like the, that's like the hardest shaila I've ever gotten, because this is a shaila to discuss, you know, who are we going to decide should live? Well, I mean, hopefully they would both get in the end, and who should, you know, we decide, you know, like, that's a hard, you know, to say, you know, we're going to play God, so to speak, and who we're going to give the liver to is a very, I don't have time now to tell you how the whole thing ended, but it was a very, you know, difficult situation. But that's, and we discussed it with different rabbis, etc. What? That's what Rav David Cohen pointed out. Rav David Cohen pointed out from the Sefer Hasidim that a younger person gets precedence, which is interesting. Because that's like the, you know, where it says more chaye, but you know, okay, that's a whole question of who takes precedence for Hatzalah. So the question over here is that that maybe a person who says this person's blood is redder than the other person, which means like this, that everyone's considered the same, right to live. So why, you can't kill someone to save your own life, who says your life is worth more than, even though maybe you're more accomplished and you're more whatever, doesn't matter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats everyone the same. But over here, it's different. Because here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't treat everyone the same. The guy who has brain death, even if you consider him alive, he's what? Right. He's a treifa. And the Torah says, if you kill a treifa, you're not chayiv misa. And you kill a regular person, you are chayiv misa. So the Torah already put a level, you know, whose life is more chashuv. Because obviously it's more chashuv, the person's not a treifa, because if you kill him, you're going to be chayiv misa. If you kill the treifa, you won't be chayiv misa, even though it's also to do, as Rav Shapiro pointed out. So that's what Rav Yishai Pick says, and that's how Rav Gershuni says, that even if you want to say that brain death is still not death, and he's considered alive, it still should be mutter. That's what Rav Yishai Pick, and no, the Behuda screams. He says, no, you can never do such a thing. You can never kill a treifa to save a bar kayama. And there are other achronim that that speak about this topic, you know, that's seemingly a mashma that maybe like Rav Yishai Pick. If you want to see the whole, you know, discussion, it's in that Shuvas and Ode of Yehuda. There's an article from Rav Yehuda Gershuni, etc. Right, so Chayimisa would be a lesson. So then the question is, what about right, killing someone else who's, you know, whatever the things are. The tshuva that Rav Shechter quotes from Rav Moshe is on page 16 in the supplement about Yos, you know, paralysis. Rav Shechter is another mahalach about this. He thinks maybe it's Tala in the Gemara in Erchin about certain Evarim are considered Evarim Shaha and Shama Tuyabo. So So Shechter said, he quotes here on page 24, he quotes from Moshe Feinstein, paralyzed arm. So he says that he says that the Gemara says about the Varm Shanashama Tluyabo. So there's different the heart, the brain, the liver. These are Varm Shanashama Tluyabo. So he says there's a question whether you need all three, one. So once one is gone, so it's a suffix. So you have the heart, the brain, and the liver. Those are the Ivarim that the Gemara says in the Shabbat Tuliyabo. So then it's considered suffix if one of them, so he would say that the brain death therefore is a suffix Misa. Not like Rabbi Tendler, Rabbi Zalman Nechemia, Rabbi David Feinstein that say it's all totally in breathing. He would say it's a suffix. But then it comes out a chiddush, which which would be that even if you have a liver that's that's gone, and then the person's still walking around, it would be, yeah, like he says here on page 25 on the right side, if we accept the view that if any one of the vital organs is dead, the person is dead, it might result in some rather startling conclusion. If a person's liver is removed, even though the person can still walk, talk, and think, he would be halakhically dead. So that's a big chiddush, what Rav Shechter was saying. So that's what Rabbi Gedalia Berger said to me. He thought, no, that the Gemara of Neshama Tluyabo doesn't mean that if you lose it, you're dead now. It just means this is an aver that eventually, down the line, if it's not functioning, you're going to die. It doesn't mean that you're dead now. So that's why, in other words, so that was the Gedalia Berger thought, the counter-argument to Rav Shechter's approach to use that Gemara in you know, in Erchin Kedushin about Ivarm Shanashama Tluyabo to say that that's relevant for the Shaila of brain death is so Rav David Feinstein said a similar thing like Gabi that, but if you assume not like Rav David Feinstein told me in the street, but what others were, Rav Ruven Feinstein, as Rabbi Tuffin pointed out, that it's only a din in the Hutas Rosho. So then that type of that you're not breathing because of Hutav Rosho, so that's but it's going to be paralysis, because it's hard to say. What Rav David said is a little hard to say, and what Rav Shechter is saying is also hard to say, that that there could be a possibility that a person, that even though the Ramban, forget Rav Shechter, forget this one, forget that one, the Ramban, so the Ramban is very, it's like imminent, like he's the thing, you're in the process, like as soon as the thing breaks, the mafakarto breaks, and now it's about to tear, like in 2 seconds, you know, so then he's considered already dead from before. But here, this guy is walking around, he's walking, he doesn't have the liver to say at that point he's a suffix dead or not, that's a big chiddush. So these are the big discussions. Now I want to go into packet 24. We're not going to do 23 now, but I'm going to do 24 now, and basically...
Well, remind me, what does that mean for, a part of the brain death patients? Does he start available then, or
after? I don't hear what you're saying.
When does available start, or,
When does what?
Availus.
Availus is after the kvura, but when is he dead?
Okay. 24 is here.
So it depends what you hold. If you hold brain dead is dead, then he's dead. If you hold brain dead is not dead, he's not dead. Okay. The next shaila is a very important shaila. And again, 24, every talk one?
Yes, I'm glad.
Sorry.
24, not 24. Supplement.
It's regular exam.
Okay. Okay, so I wanted to do this packet together with 22, and then Bez Hashem on Monday we should do Tumas Kohenim, and then there's a small packet I made about other Rishon and other Sheni, when that I could say over probably 5 minutes if I just get to the chase, you know. So
if we hold like Rav Schachter, we hold that the Orem needs to be
well, then it's a suffix, he says.
Right. So you can make a case for say that you can, if someone has lost his liver function, you can actually do a heart transplant on them.
Well, yeah, if you hold, I mean, it's a suffix, so that's what he's saying there's a day that says yes, but there's a day that says no, so it's a suffix.
You mean so the suffix is whether it's all three?
Or just one. Yeah, you can read the article, yeah. But yeah, but one could say, like Rabbi Gedalia Berger said, that the whole thing is not, that sugi has nothing to do. That the shama, Aver shana shama tuya bo, doesn't mean that you knew that Aver is gone, he's dead. It means that will lead to death. Tuya bo, it means...
So then, he's considered the
trade
already, right?
Okay. Now, we know there's a halacha
which will be a fact of not community of Yeshua, the pig, and
all the other. Yeah. So you put in all the permutations, right, exactly. But this became a whole big machlokes, and I mean, you know, this was like a big okay. Okay, the halacha is that a person has to if a person kills someone, he's chayv misa. If he hires someone to kill someone, so it could be grama, but still he's chayv misa b'nei shemayim. There's no misa's bezdin, he didn't do it himself. And then he says here on page 2, well, kofes is, if you tell, you don't feed somebody, kofes is chaver enichu barav, you tie him up and he can't get food. So that's the same thing, that you're not, it's not a ritzicha, but he's a rotzeach because he's it's like a grama or something, misa b'dei shemayim, etc. The question at hand is, what is the story of somebody who's not well? Do you have to do everything possible to keep him alive or not? Or do we say, no, you don't have to do anything, you can let him die? So one of the sources is Shiltiki Borum here on page 3, but you'll see it's quoted in the Ramah, the famous Ramah here on page 5. Which says, "Can also lignum lemeis shiyamus mehera." From Mishu Gosei Zman Aruch, he's a Gosei, so he's he's holding by dying. For what Yuchal he parried when he's not dying yet. Also, like Yishamir Hakarka, Hakesim Tachtav Mikoch Shomim Sheish Neutzus Mitzas. In other words, maybe he's having a pillow underneath him, and maybe the feathers in the pillow are keeping him alive. They're not, the agitation of the feathers, whatever, that's keeping him alive. So he says... One second. He says he can't remove the pillow. And he can't move him. So he can't do anything. He can't do anything to take it away.
because we think that maybe this is keeping her alive, but what if somebody's chopping wood, and the sound of the chopping of the wood is what's keeping him going?
How would you even know that?
Oh, she's melech ha-lashono. Right? Ve'ilu ma'akvi tzias ha-nefesh mutar la'asiru misham. If you move the pillow, you're going to move him. So then you're doing something directly to him. But if you're doing something external, in other words, that maybe it's the chopping of the wood, the sound is keeping him. So how is, could you stop the sound? So he says that, yeah. Which is not a ma'isem, hasar samoneya. But if you do something directly to him, you move the pillow, that's hasar. That's what the Ramah says. It's based on the Shilti Giborim here, etc.
Isn't that grammar?
If what?
But
he's saying it's better than grammar. He's saying you're allowed to do it. Grammar, you're not allowed to kill somebody, but grammar. So it's grammar, if you do something, you hire somebody or something like that, so that's still an avera, like Rosh Hashanah always points out. But here you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to stop the. You're allowed to stop the. Now.
How would you ever know the noise is keeping him alive?
You don't. But try. Try.
The soul on his tongue.
Yeah. There's salt on his tongue.
Isn't that like a mindset? Yeah. Not like you're doing something externally.
Unless his tongue is out. Right. Who are you quoting? Bear Hatev. Okay, so in Okanami, it probably only means if you do it in a way that you wouldn't have to move him. Now, there's a famous Ran in the Dorim, which is quoted, which I personally think has nothing to do with this question. And that is whether you're allowed to daven for somebody to die. Are you allowed to daven for somebody to daven to die? So the Ran says like this: sometimes you're allowed to die. You're allowed to daven that somebody should die. And then he quotes the famous Gemara in Ksubas with Amsa the Rebbe that where the Gemara says she saw how much pain Rebbe was in and but everyone was dying that he should live. So she didn't want them to continue davening. So what she do? She took a pot, threw it out the window, and it made a smash. And then everyone was startled when the pot hit the ground, and they had that big smash. So then for that second, everyone stopped dying, davening, because they were startled. And then he was nifter. So some point out that maybe this should be a raya whether you're allowed to continue treatment or not continue treatment. So I don't think there's anything to do with anything, because I think that you have a chiyuv to do whatever you have to do to save someone's life, even whatever. Then you davening is a different thing. You daven for this, you daven for that. But that, in other words, there's the same person who's davening that he should die still has a chiyuv maybe to keep him alive. In other words, what you're davening for and what you're allowed to do are two separate, pashas, two separate things. So these achronim that say that, I'm not convinced about. So, you know, there's a famous letter from the Stipler on page 10 that he said, I used to think, the Stipler says, that whatever you can do to keep the person alive, you should do. But then I see from the Gemara, from the Ramah and Yerodea, that it's not true. That, because we don't say, oh, you got to make sure that you keep banging away. So there are different opinions in this matter of whether you can sign a DNR, and obviously this is a very complex union. We're not going to. I just want to give you some here, Rabbi Zev Shostak. Okay, so Rabbi Chaim Dovid Alevi says a very big kiddush that Pasha's not like him on page 22. He wants to say based on this Ramah that anything external you could stop, you just can't move him. That he wants to say that you could shut off a respirator. He's still breathing, now you help him breathe. Just shut it off, because that's like stopping the wood. So some say that no, that's very different. One is stopping the wood is not part of his essence of life. Stopping the respirator is stopping the oxygen. Considered a gram ritzicha. So to compare the two, so he wants to compare the two. So that's like a very big kiddush. But that's Rav Chaim Dovid Alevi in this article in Chumen. But if you want to see just very briefly, Rav Zev Shostak. And again, if Chas V'Shalom, anyone is ever having such a situation, shouldn't be irrelevant. But you have to, you have to really discuss it with, because there are different shitas. Rav Shlomo Zalman here on page 24, says the chiluk between ordinary treatment and extraordinary treatment. In other words, by giving food and oxygen, are considered, normal things of life that you have to give, and that you always have to So a dying patient suffering from metastatic cancer must receive oxygen and the artificial nutrition, hydration, etc. Because of Rav Shachter, maybe not, maybe... Rav Shachter is also into this idea of asking the patient or what the patient would have wanted. Others are not... Others think not that way. So others hold that, no, there's nothing to do with what the patient wants. It's not a... Because the patient doesn't own his body. He doesn't own his life. So it really doesn't matter what he wants. But here's a discussion about that. And some... Rabbi Bleich is very stark on people alive. He says very... stark lushen here. Some want to say the difference between, regular things and heroic measures, not the normal things in life, like, putting in something in his body, doing something. So Bleich on page 26, he says, man does not possess absolute title to his life. He's charged with saving him from howling that life. He is obliged to seek food and sustenance in order to safeguard the life he's been granted. So he has to do whatever he does, whatever, you know, even though it's not the normal way of having food, you know, putting in a tube or whatever it is, you know, he's still mechuyev. And then he writes a very sharp lashon. He writes distinctions between natural and artificial means, between ordinary and extraordinary procedures, and between non-heroic and heroic measures recur within the Catholic tradition. But no precisely parallel categories exist within Jewish law. So that's very, very stark. Rav Nata Greenblatt, who I've discussed this with on many occasions, I mean, Baruch Hashem, he's an old man, should live and be well, and a lot of life experience on these things. And basically his mahalach is that you should do anything to keep the person going, unless the thing you're going to do, the procedure you might do, might itself kill him. You know that. So, but as long as it's not going to kill him, and Rav Nata said, you know, in terms of the pain, you know, b'zman hazeh, you have all these painkillers and things like that. So. Shigratim, and not shigratim. Right. And different rabbanim of note have different mahalchim in this. But that's what I mean. Just last Thursday night, I was setting the table for Shabbos, and somebody called with the shaila. About whether they should just sign a DNR, and this way they won't, you know. And I told them, I follow what Rav Nata Greenblatt holds, that as long as the what you're doing to him is not itself going to cause the death, then you should continue giving him whatever, you know.
And I mean, the guy's already...
Yeah, you need to... Right. So he's saying that the chiluk between the norms and things that are heroic measures, you know, like doing something that putting in the chveis, you know, different. Well, maybe he would say tubus is mezonos, so then maybe even he would agree to that. But I don't want to put words into something that I never asked for Shlomo Zalman, you know. It's hard to. Right, but to do anything, so basically that the sheet that I found is of not the Greenblatt, that he holds that you should do everything, except if that thing that you're doing itself will, you know, hasten the death, then you're not mechuyev.
Everything is, all these limited procedures are all like percentages. There's X percentages for the X percentages for the
No, but some things like, you know, there's a tshuva, the Yaskil Abdi here on page, the supplement about Chol HaMesukan, and he needs insulin, right? So if you stop the insulin, then you're going to require. But if putting insulin, it's not going to cause anything. It'll just keep giving him the insulin to keep him, you know, that he needs, the refuah that he needs, right? So giving him the insulin is not going to makarv. You know, sometimes if you do an operation or something like that, sometimes that operation itself could cause the, you know. So, but here's talking about the insulin. So he's saying, so give him the insulin, you know, because
he says you can stop it.
What? He says to stop it. Emakom lahatil losis losrichin shlos lahatil tzias anepesh. So he says not that way. But Rav Nata would say against the askilavdi. What? He would not agree with that. Right. He says that the guy is already, because there's a discussion in the poskim, you know, and Rabbi Blyth said to me also the concept of the Ramah, you know, they all use this Ramah. He says the Ramah was only talking about a very limited case of when he's mamish a goses. So he's holding, you know, so then he could stop. But then the question exactly when the goses is. But to broaden the case and just say, well, you see, you could, like not doing things, that should be like stopping the whatchamacallit, the cutting of the wood, right? Because it's, you're not touching him, you're not doing anything. So Rabbi Bleich doesn't agree with that, because he holds that was only said that you could stop him. In other words, the disciple says, oh, I see from here that what I thought as a child is wrong. But Rabbi Bleich says, no, maybe what you thought as a child was right. It's just the chilek, he's the state of goses, he's mamish holding by... he's mamish holding by... but if he's not like he's holding yet, he's not well, but he's not, you know, so in other words, to make a whole thing from that Ramah is, so that's what I thought, which I ultimately I think is against what the disciple is saying, that's different than the Ramah is very limited to holding, you know, by Misa. So then he's holding him, he's dying anyway, so now it's just the Shema is not going out, so and what's keeping it alive, but he's not holding by, you know, as soon as you're going to stop the wood cutting, he's going to go out, so then you can stop it, because he's a gosis. But if somebody's not a gosis, he's maybe even terminally ill or something like that, but that's not necessarily a gosis, so then and you need to give him insulin or something like that, like Rav Nata would say, not like the Askelavdi.
The Askelavdi says that it's actually a discharge.
Yeah.
To give it him
because you're prolonging the tzar. Rav Nata said, Bismanazel, you know, the tzar element, you know, we have all these painkillers and things like that. But, okay, so what I'm saying is this is not an easy topic, and there, you know, when one rav will say, you know, you're allowed to, you know, we saw Chaim David HaLevi and things that you can even take someone off the respirator and things like that based on. That's what it's. Look inside.
Right.
So he uses that Ramah and he's making it. He extends it, you know, very far. And Rav Zalman Chevi also has a piece like that, about, you know, something similar to stopping things. I think he told, did he tell me or told someone else that when he wrote that article about, you know, he likes to have a rule, he likes to call it Tov Mosi Mechayai, Pasuk in Yonah. He wrote something like using that idea. He said he got so much, meaning negative feedback. He said more than anything he ever did in his life, you know. So, you know, there are different shittas, different things, you know. And I'm not here now to give you how I tell people in such situations. I'm not saying that that's what everyone says. I mean, the different... Shitas, what Rabbi Feinstein holds and others hold, different things in different cases. So, but again, it's something that, you know, has to be dealt with. Unfortunately, we shouldn't come to that, but, in this day and age, that we are able to have these mechanisms to prolong people's lives, so then the shilas become much more relevant and things like that. Okay, so basically the major shiur Be'ez Hashem that we have left is the Tumas Kohanim shiur. Then we have a small thing about other Rishon and other Sheni that...
And Purim,
right. Right, so right, that shouldn't be long. And so I'm giving a shiur Sunday morning, so
someplace else, and that's why I can't give the shiur on Sunday. But Monday, we'll have the shiur Bez Hashem Monday, and we'll do Tumas Kohanim, which is a very important thing in Hilchas Tumas Kohanim. And then we call Wednesday, right? Wednesday we call the Bechina, and we sign up with Rabbi Tuchman. And, okay, I tried my best to expedite the, you know, I think, look, usually my personality is I like to go much slower and give more, but I don't think we left out any of the main topics. And especially these, the last, what we did today is a very significant thing.
Yeah, we have a question. So, can I ask a question?